Today we celebrate the memory of the Holy Apostle Mark, who was the writer of the second gospel. He was not one of the 12 apostles, but according to tradition, he was one of the 70. But he was a young man during Christ's ministry, but he was very much in the midst of what was happening because, according to tradition, and there's very good evidence to support it in Scripture, the house that the midst of the supper was held in and the Garden of Gethsemane were the property of his family. And so his family was the host of the Last Supper, and the garden where Christ went to pray was their property, which was nearby. And according to tradition, Christ often went there when he was in Jerusalem and stayed. So his family, his mother in particular, we know, was a very early disciple of Christ. The Gospel of Mark is the only gospel that records a brief incident. After Christ was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, it talks about a young man who was following close by, watching what was happening. And then the soldiers saw him and they grabbed him by the cloak. And he was apparently wearing loose clothes like maybe someone would wear when they were going to bed. And he ran and they kept his clothes and he ran away naked. And according to tradition, that was St. Mark the Evangelist, his first appearance in Holy Scripture. Also in this same house, according to tradition, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, and this was the place where the apostles regularly gathered together. So this was like the very first church in Jerusalem, his home. So he was there to see all of these things. He got to know the apostle Peter very well during this time. We read specifically about his mother by name for the first time in Acts chapter 12. This is the account where the apostle Peter was put into prison for the first time, and then an angel appeared to him and walked him out of the prison, and then he wasn't sure whether it was a vision or whether it was a reality, but then he found himself outside the prison and realized that it wasn't just a vision, but that God had miraculously delivered him. And so then he went to the house, it says in Scripture, of John Mark. John was the Apostle Mark's Hebrew name. Mark was his Latin name, the name that he was best known by in the church. And the house of his mother, Mary. And the fact that this house is identified by the mother rather than the father would indicate that probably by this time his father was departed. But if not, certainly that she was the one that was the more notable of the two. And the Apostle Peter knocked on the door, and one of the servants, so apparently they were wealthy because they had a servant, went to the gate and saw the Apostle Peter and thought that they were seeing a ghost and didn't open the door. So the Apostle Peter is left outside knocking on the door until finally they open it up and realize that God has worked this miracle. So this all happened in his home. He was there when this happened. His uncle was the Apostle Barnabas. And so when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas set out on their very first missionary journey, first stop being Cyprus, they took St. Mark with them. But then when they departed Cyprus, they went to Asia Minor, and St. Paul's intention was to go into the interior of Asia Minor. And we only know that from Scripture that St. Mark left them there. According to St. John Chrysostom, it was because he missed his mother. He was a young man. This is the first time he was away from home, and so he wanted his mother. He went back to his home in Jerusalem. Later on, when the apostle Barnabas and Paul were getting ready to set out on their second missionary journey, which the first leg of that journey was to retrace their steps and to visit the churches that they had established, St. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew with him. But St. Paul said, no, you know, he left us the last time, and we're not going to have that happen again. And they had such a sharp disagreement that they actually went their separate ways at that point. So the Apostle Barnabas took Mark, and St. Paul took St. Silas, and they went in different directions. And so this goes to show one thing, and that's that even among the saints, even among the apostles, they had disagreements, and they always weren't able to work them out to the full satisfaction of each party. But the fathers say that this was providential because now instead of just one band of apostles traveling, you now had two. And you had new people who were coming into prominence and positions of leadership. The Apostle Mark was able to redeem himself in the eyes of the Apostle Paul because later when the Apostle Paul was in prison, we know from bits and pieces that we find in St. Paul's epistles, that St. Mark went to him and ministered to him, and he mentioned in his epistles, specifically in his epistle to St. Timothy, the second one, he says, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for me to the ministry." And then in his epistles to the Colossians and also to Philemon, he mentions Mark as he's mentioning the people who are saying hello to the people who the letter is going to, and he mentions him as his fellow laborer. So eventually St. Paul got to see that he was a trustworthy person and that he was useful for the ministry. So they were ultimately reconciled. After this missionary journey that St. Mark went on with the Apostle Barnabas, he went back to Jerusalem, and he again spent time with the Apostle Peter. He was sent by the Apostle Peter to Egypt, to Alexandria specifically, and he established the earliest churches that were there. Then he later went to Rome with the Apostle Paul, and it was during this ministry in Rome when the Apostle Peter was preaching in Rome, St. Mark was his translator. And then people began to ask him to write down what the Apostle Peter was teaching, because people were beginning to realize, you know, these apostles won't be around forever. We need to record these things. And so St. Mark put pen to paper, and he wrote down the preaching of the Apostle Peter. So when you read the Gospel of Mark, you're reading the proclamation of the Apostle Peter. And when St. Peter read this, he approved of it and said that it was true and accurate, and he was very pleased with the work. After the martyrdom of the apostles Peter and Paul, St. Mark went back to Egypt. He went into the interior of Africa and established churches, ordained priests, and consecrated bishops where he went. And ultimately, he went back to Alexandria, where he celebrated the Paschal services. And then at the end of that liturgy, the pagans came into the church and they arrested him. And according to tradition, they tied him up and they dragged him through the streets, and they were saying, "Let us drag the ox to the pen." And they dragged him all the way to the prison. And as he went, of course, all the sharp stones of the street tore his skin. And wounded and bloodied in prison, Christ appeared to him. And Christ said to him, "Peace be to you, Mark, my evangelist." And the Apostle Mark replied, "Peace be to you also, my Lord Jesus Christ." And that vision sustained him. The next day, they came to him again. They tied him up and dragged him through the streets, probably intending to execute him in some fashion or another. But according to tradition, he gave up his spirit as he was dragged through the streets. And his relics were preserved by the church, first in Alexandria, and then later, after the Muslims took over Egypt, the greater part of his relics were taken to Venice, where there's a church, St. Mark's of Venice, that was actually an Orthodox church originally, and his relics are preserved there to this day. But we also celebrate Mother's Day, and as I've already mentioned, St. Mark's mother played a prominent role in his life. We know from what we read in the scriptures and the references to her that she was obviously a woman of great piety and great hospitality. And she was a woman who stuck by Christ through thick and thin, stuck by the apostles in times of persecution, and allowed her house to be the place where they went, knowing that that house could have easily been the place where they were all arrested and the property was seized by the state. She saw her whole life as a ministry. She ministered to people. She didn't do things that were flashy, things that wound up with a lot of mention in the history of the church. But nevertheless, the apostles needed a place to stay. They needed food to eat. They needed the hospitality that she provided, and she did that. And that faith and that service and that hospitality instilled virtues in her son that you see evidenced in his life and the work that he did. And one of the four Gospels are a fruit of that. And so one lesson that we should derive from that is that the greatest work that any mother has is to raise their children in the faith and to instill in them all the virtues and instruction that will make them into godly people. And it may not be that the mother will become a great historical figure that everyone will recognize, but when you read the lives of the saints and you read the history of the church, in most cases, when you read about a great saint who is notable for whatever reason, you'll find that there was a saintly mother that raised that saint in the faith and made them into the men or the women that God brought them into being. So we should honor the work and ministry of a mother, and anyone who is a mother and spends their time raising their children and making a home and providing hospitality to people should not feel like they're not doing anything important, because it's an extremely crucial thing. And the lack of that sort of care, the lack of that motherhood and nurturing is what we see so much in our culture today, where children are raising themselves and doing whatever they want to do. And so let us honor our mothers, let us pray for them if they're departed, let us show them that we love them if they're still alive, and do for them what we can as they get older and the roles reverse somewhat, but let us let them know that we love them in word and in deed.